Fellow Podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub. This is a special episode we are doing called, or I should say, for the Amazon TV series, The Boys. Joining me on the line, first up, is Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And last but not least, we have Michael Dean Jackson. How's it going, MDJ?
It's going well.
Excellent. All right, so MDJ and myself, we've actually watched the series. Kevin hasn't watched the series, but Kevin's actually read the comic book, which I haven't read. I'm not sure about you, MDJ. Did you ever read the comic book?
I'm familiar with it. I have not read it, excuse me, but I did familiarize myself with it a little bit after I saw the series.
Okay, well, my first question...
It's easier to read the comic with a six-year-old in the house than watch the show.
Yeah. I will agree with that. Well, my first question to you is, what did you know about The Boys prior to watching the TV show? For myself, as I said, I've never actually read the comic book. I knew of it prior to the TV show, but none of my comic book friends or none of the podcasts I listen to, because I listen to two comic book podcasts on a weekly basis, and there is another comic book podcast that I do listen to occasionally, and I've never heard them talk about The Boys. It's something I was aware of. Like, I saw, you know, the book sitting on the shelf in the comic book store when I used to go to the physical comic book store. I've seen it on Comixology. You know, I kind of, at one point, learned about the premise. I think it was after I saw the initial trailer for The Boys. Like, I don't even know how long ago that was. Like, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. When that first trailer dropped, I saw it, and I was like, this looks interesting. So I kind of familiarized, you know, I went to Wikipedia, kind of familiarized myself with the concept. And Comixology, because of the release of the show, had a sale on The Boys comic book. So I actually bought the first trade, I think, and it's on my tablet, but I haven't actually read it yet. So I really didn't know too much going into this series besides the basic premise, which I only got a few months back. Kevin, what did you know about The Boys prior to the show?
So when I had read it years ago, and it was because at the time of initial release, it was getting a lot of hype on comic sites, on the magazines that were around at the time. And it was being compared to a lot of the deconstruction of heroes that happened before. But here's a brand new group, so you don't have the history for it, so we can play a little more and go a little farther. But it really became almost a dare of it for each issue. It's like, oh, you were shocked by what we did last issue. Wait till you see what's going to happen next. And yes, you end up having, I don't even want to say a hero, because you have The Boys, which, yeah, in the long run, I guess they're on the side of right, but means, methods, you know, so much other stuff. Geez, are they really? And then you have your iconic superheroes who are horrible. So I guess they're the villains, but really you have no one to root for in here. Everything's awful. And it became almost a game of, like, how far are you willing to hurt yourself in hopes that at the end something good happens? It was like watching Passion of the Christ again. Like, how much horrible stuff are you willing to witness to get to the end story here?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was a rough read, and I've had movies where I'm like, and TV shows where I'm like, all right, I've hit my personal wall and that's too much, but comics just don't do that for me. And this, I'm like, they're not doing that. Oh no, they did that. They did that. Okay, cool. And I was just, struggling to find a protagonist, I guess, is the best way to put it. Like, who am I supposed to... Who's supposed to be the reader's character? Who am I supposed to go through? And, yeah, there's one, but that's grasping at anything, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I need something. Here's the best choice I got, and it's not really a good choice here.
Not having read it, I can see, I totally get it, because I know Garth Ennis. And we'll get into a little bit more about Garth Ennis after I ask MDJ. What did you know about The Boys prior to watching the show?
Absolutely nothing. I saw the previews for the Amazon show, and I heard, okay, based on the comic book, didn't read it, it went into the show completely cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then I, you know, had to find out afterwards, did a bit of research after, couldn't actually find any issues, but I gathered enough to know what the differences were between the source material and the actual story.
All right.
Oh, sorry, the TV series.
All right. So my next question to you guys is, are you a fan of Boys creator and writer, Garth Ennis? For myself, he did a Punisher Max series a few years ago, which I really enjoyed. I think that's probably my favorite Punisher story that has ever been done. But he also wrote The Preacher, or just Preacher, I mean. What's that company? It's DC, but Vertigo.
Is that the... Vertigo, yeah.
Yeah, the Vertigo line. So he wrote that for, I want to say, 75 issues, something like that. And, I mean, at the time, it was heralded as, you know, like, the greatest comic book ever made, and, you know, a lot of friends and fellow podcasters that I knew read Preacher and really enjoyed it, and, you know, sang its praises. But when they did the Preacher TV series on AMC a few years ago, that was when I decided to actually give it a read, because I'd never read it before. And I think part of the reason why I never read it, you know, because it started, I want to say, like, 94, 95, something like that. I just don't think it was available in my local, where I bought my comics locally. So I just never got into it. But I read enough about it, and I want to say there's six books, like graphic novel books, that encompass the entire series, and I've only read the first two, and then I bought them all because Comixology had this sale on when the Preacher TV show came out, where you could buy these things, which are regularly $40 in the store. You can buy them for like $5 a pop digitally. So I figure, what the hell? Like, I'll buy them because, you know, everyone says they're the greatest comic book, right? Like, not everybody, but a lot of people. And it was so hard to get through. Like it was good, but there was so much darkness. Like, it was so heavy in the... the dark, like, I'm more like, I love my lighter comic books. Like, I love reading about Spider-Man. I love reading about Captain America, and Preacher is very dark. It takes you to a very dark place. So I'm going to get back to reading that, but I just, at some point I couldn't do it anymore. It was just so dark that I was like, I got to give this a break. Not to say it wasn't good, it's just it was very dark. And from what I've heard, The Boys is kind of the same way. However, I really enjoyed this show. Like, far more than I enjoyed the Preacher TV series, which Seth Rogen and I can't remember the other gentleman's name, they're both producers of The Boys as well. They made the Preacher TV series, and now they're making The Boys for Amazon. MDJ, did you read any Garth Ennis at all prior to
this? I actually did. Nope. I, you know, my comic book purchasing all happened before I got married and had kids. After that, it was, you know, it was just too expensive a hobby to keep up. So my comic book knowledge is kind of limited. So I'm just coming at this through the TV series.
Okay.
Learning about it after. I mean, like I didn't even know that the Umbrella Academy was a comic book before the TV show came on. So, but I had to go back and do research about that. So yeah, this is something else that I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy, another great show. I love that show too. All right, Kevin, are you a fan of Garth Ennis, or were a fan of Garth Ennis prior to this?
Yeah, I actually read all of Preacher and absolutely loved it. And I read a lot of the Punisher work as well. And I think the difference between, well, I loved Preacher and Punisher, but not The Boys, is Preacher is such a reluctant hero, reluctant dark hero. I'm messed up. Everyone around me is messed up. But we're the only ones here. And someone has to stop this thing, so I guess it's us.
Yep.
Punisher, he was one of the first to take a deep dive into, this would be a very disturbed person. This person is not right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only one willing to do this. So you still had them as heroes. Maybe, you know, they're certainly not perfect. They certainly have their own issues. And they could easily be on the other side of someone better than them. Gooder. I know that's not a proper word, but, you know, more of a force of good than they are. Mm-hmm. And easily be the villain. But in this story, they're not. And there's something different for The Boys, where it didn't feel like a reluctant hero. It didn't feel like we're the only ones. It just felt like... It didn't feel reluctance. It felt like revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because I'm getting off on being here. I'm not here because of a duty or a mission or some sort of nobility or code or whatever. I'm here because I'm getting off on it. I think was the difference, and somehow it disturbed me enough reading it.
All right. Well, let's get into, like I know, Kevin, you haven't watched the TV show. So I'll direct this question to Michael. What was your reaction to the show? Did you enjoy it? What was your take?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought I'll give the first episode a try, and because I'd seen the previews, and it looked pretty violent, like this is weird, what's going on? And I watched the first episode, and I was absolutely hooked, and I binged the rest of it. It is absolutely over the top. The violence, the idea that these are superheroes, you know, if superheroes were real, what would they do? What could they do? You know, it's like, it's not clean. It's... You know, I mean, the first scene, I mean, I'm going to spoil it, you know, for you haven't seen it, this is a spoiler, but, you know, basically the first scene, your main character is, you know, is holding hands with his girlfriend, and this super speedster character, A-Train, just runs right through her, turns her into basically a big pile of red goo, you know, and it's shocking, and it's like, I you can't believe they did that, they actually did that, you know, it's so straddles it straddles the line between absolutely horrific and funny. You know, there is an element of comedy in it, but it's absolutely awful. So the first episode has a big impact. I mean, you're following these characters, these superheroes, and the people, you know, who are impacted by them, and it's compelling. And that just sort of drew me right into it. So I had to watch I binged basically the whole thing in a couple of days. Yeah, amazing series.
Yeah, I did so as well. One of the draws to this show for me, you know, one of the few things that I really enjoyed from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films was Carl Urban as Dr. McCoy. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, even though I'd seen him in Lord of the Rings, but Lord of the Rings was such a, you know, big ensemble piece that he kind of fell between the cracks. I thought, like, I didn't really remember him too much from Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. But then when, you know, of course, when, like, from the J.J. Abrams films, like, he just embodied DeForest Kelley. Like, he was, like, you know, like, if, I don't know, like, it's like he was channeling Dr. McCoy for that role, and he did such an amazing job. I really grew to like him as an actor. He did the 2012 Dread movie.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome. Yes, yeah. I absolutely loved it. He did a TV series for a season called, I want to say it was called Almost Human, where he played, like, it took place in the future. He played a cop, and he was teamed with, like, an android
for a partner. I didn't watch that. I love Carl Urban, but I didn't watch that.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest show, but it was pretty good. Like, it was, like, I really wish it hadn't been canceled. But, of course, I want to see Carl Urban come back as Dredd, because he was amazing. So when I saw that he was going to be in this series, I was like, okay, I got to watch it just for Carl Urban, because I love that guy. You know, but then, yeah, like you said, I got drawn into the first episode, and next thing you know, I'm watching the next episode, I'm looking at the clock, I should go to bed now. No, I got to watch another episode. And, like, I was away at work. Like, when I work a week on, a week off. So for the week that I'm working, I'm actually away from home for a week. Mm-hmm. So I watched all 8 episodes, and I must say, I was very disappointed that there was only 8 episodes, because when I got to that last episode, I'm like, what? No, it can't end now. I gotta see what happens now. Like, such a great cliffhanger. But it's funny, because you watch certain, like, Netflix series, for example, Luke Cage or Iron Fist. You know, they're 13-episode seasons, and they just drag, and it's like, oh, man, why couldn't they just make this 8 episodes or 10 episodes? Like, you wish they would have shortened it. But this one is the exact opposite. It's like, why didn't they...
I wish there was more, yeah.
Yeah, why didn't they do 13? Why'd you have to end it at 8? But... You know, I was pleasantly surprised to learn that it's already been renewed for a second season before the first season even aired. Yeah, they're actually filming season 2 right now.
Yep.
So yeah, I was super super excited about that. So yeah, I binged watched it the week I was at work. I came home, I told my wife, "You're gonna like this, trust me," and I binged watched it a second time with my wife, and she did like it. She did really enjoy it. All right. Well, one of the, you know, aside from Carl Urban, who is, you know, one of my favorite actors, you know, he plays the main, I don't even know if you want to call him a protagonist. Like you were saying, Kev, about, you know, like, you don't know who to root for in this, you know, because everyone's kind of bad in their own way. But Carl Urban, I guess, is the anti-hero in this, you know, because he plays Butcher, right?
Yeah, by lack of being able to pick anyone else, you got to pick him.
Yeah, but I got to say, Anthony Starr, I'm assuming I'm saying Antony, A-N-T-O-N-Y, is that Antony or Antony? I want to say Antony. Anthony Starr plays Homelander. Oh my God. Homelander gets my nomination for best new villain of 2019. Even though he's not technically new, because this is based on a comic book series, the best new on-screen villain of 2019, I really think, goes to Homelander. Man, did that guy do such a great job in that role.
An amazing performance. Because every time he's on screen, I mean, he can be charming, he can be, you know, wrathful, he can be goofy, he can do all these things, but there's always that undercurrent of you don't know what he's going to do. You know, there's this discomfort in watching him, because he somehow gets across the idea that there is something going on in his head that's really scary, and you don't know where it's going to go, and it's uncomfortable to see him because you don't know what he's going to do next. Mm-hmm. You know. Especially when they show him, you know, with normal people and with you know, there's several scenes. There's a baby throughout the series, and there's several scenes where he is looking at this baby, and you think, oh man, he's
going to totally kill that baby, and it's like
wow, he's not really thinking that, is he? But he is, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's horrible, or he's using his X-ray vision to watch Elizabeth Shue, you know, use a breast pump.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like...
And that's pretty sick. But and Elizabeth Shue was fantastic in this. And,
oh, yeah.
I remember her from Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the 80s. But yeah, no, she was amazing. The whole cast is wonderful. And I want to point out, I want to single out I guess the lead character is Huey,
mm-hmm.
Who is played by Jack Quaid,
mm-hmm.
who is the daughter or is the son of Dennis Quaid and
Meg Ryan.
Yeah. So, you know, and Dennis Quaid, of course, you know, leading man. He's got the same chops, the same look, and he's very talented.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection until I was watching videos on YouTube about, you know, about the boys. And he did an interview, I want to say it was with Jimmy Kimmel, or maybe it was Jimmy Fallon, I can't remember, where they, of course, are trying to embarrass him, and they bring up the Meg Ryan, you know, fake orgasm scene in, with Billy Crystal, that movie.
When Harry Met Sally,
yes. And they're like, you know, what'd you think of that when you saw that? And he, yeah. put him on the spot, right? I totally didn't make that connection. And now, like you said, like, now that I see it, it's like, how did I not see that?
Mm.
You know?
But there's something, you know, there's that familiarity. That you know, that,
oh, yeah, he's yeah, definitely but... takes on traits from both parents, that's for
and,
sure.
And what Kevin was saying about there not really being any heroes, he is the closest thing to the main character. He, you know, it's all anti-heroes and villains. Mm-hmm. And the villains are, or the heroes are the villains. You do feel for Huey if you feel for anyone. With what
in the comics, he's your introduction to the whole world,
mm-hmm.
and he was actually drawn to look like Simon Pegg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
that's where it was going to go at the time.
It was cool that they used Simon Pegg as the model for Wee Huey in the comic books, and they went a completely different way with him in the series, but they brought Simon Pegg in playing his father.
Yeah.
You know, cause you know, obviously he's a lot older. He's too old to play Huey now, but it's, yeah. that was interesting. I liked seeing Simon Pegg. That was good.
Yeah, I really did too. I loved him in the dad role. I really liked that, but part of me was like, oh, I wish they would have had him play a different part so he could have been in it more, because mm-hmm. I love Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
No, like you said, the entire cast, like, Erin Moriarty plays Starlight. I thought she was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you're saying with Huey, and we'll get into, now we're getting into some spoilers. So I'm sorry, Kev.
I've seen most online already. You're fine.
Okay. Cause I know they have changed certain things for the store or for the show. Cause from what I understand, the Elizabeth Shue character is actually a man in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. spoilers, she's not going to be in season 2. But I think they're bringing that character story back around with a man. Because I'm thinking, because in the season finale, they introduced Giancarlo Esposito,
mm-hmm.
who played Gus Fring on Breaking Bad as her yeah. boss. So he's going to be, I think, filling that role next season. And I just can't help but think that there's more to this guy than meets the eye. I really think he's going to be the Lex Luthor type of character in the seasons to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's the guy behind Vought. He's obviously a trillionaire probably. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking he's going to be the Lex Luthor type. And what a great actor. Like when I almost jumped out of my seat when he showed up on screen, because I love that actor. You know, I loved Breaking Bad. He was awesome as that villain in that show. He's awesome in pretty much everything he does. And a super nice guy. Cause I met him at a convention a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nicest men, one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met in my life. And I actually, I don't know if you guys have ever watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But his character kills a man by slitting his throat with a box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So at the convention, he was actually selling pretend box cutters. And I actually got my picture taken with him with him holding it to my throat. And he was so nice. Like I said, he was such a nice guy. He was singing show tunes. He was, you know, talking to everybody, shaking people's hands, giving them hugs. And then, but in that picture, he embodied Gus Fring. Like, he had that Gus look as he's holding the box cutter to my throat. And it's such an awesome picture. Yeah, I'm super stoked that he's going to be in the show going forward. But you know, getting back to the cast, like I said, Homelander was fantastic. The guy who plays the Deep, Chase Crawford is his name. I thought he did a great job. The first episode, because he does a terrible thing, takes advantage of Starlight. But by the end of the season, you feel sorry for him.
Yeah, because he actually undergoes kind of a rape.
Yes, yeah.
In an odd way later on in the later episodes. And he's in a really broken place at the end.
So, yeah, he's sent to Sandusky and you know, people make fun, you know, Homelander's making fun of him, you know, stick your dick in a blowhole or whatever, and everyone makes fun of him because he's the fish guy.
Yeah.
And I loved those scenes because they had, it started out funny when he was saving the dolphin, and they're having a talk back and forth, which I'm assuming was a sexual conversation because you only get the Deep's responses.
And he gets uncomfortable.
And he's getting uncomfortable.
You're making it weird. Stop.
Yeah, you're making it weird. Okay, when we stop, I'll touch it. Okay, and then the dolphin doesn't end well for the dolphin in that scene.
It's again, you're horrified. And yet you want to laugh.
Yeah.
But you're horrified at wanting to laugh. It straddles the line so well.
Or the lobster scene. Like the lobster.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the fact that he was in Sandusky was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because of our friend Eric.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I kept thinking about him when we were... when they kept saying Sandusky.
Yeah. So there was the Deep, there was, you know, A-Train. I liked what they did with that character. You know, again, you're like these heroes, you know, I like this almost realistic spin on them because, I mean, you know, they are people too. So, I mean, he has a drug problem. Unfortunately, you know, it's, you know, taking over, right? And, you know, but he has superpowers, so, you know, it makes it, you know, especially worse. You know, the lady that played the female in the group of the boys, she was fantastic. She was also Katana. I want to say her name was Katana in the Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, yeah.
Yeah. The actor who played Frenchie, he was fantastic. Yeah. The actor who played Mother's Milk, he was also fantastic. Who else? The only one we never really learn anything about, but yet was played off sometimes for comedic relief, was Black Noir.
Yeah.
You know, like when he's playing the piano, who saw that coming?
That was an odd little scene. Yeah. He intimidates the real pianist off the piano so that he can play the piano, so he can play the intro for Homelander.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bizarre scene. You know, one of the things that I liked about the series is that it actually fulfilled the, like I said, my comic book reading ended a while ago, and one of my favorite comics, though, is Alan Moore's Watchmen. Alan Moore's Watchmen was that deconstruction of the superheroes that Kevin mentioned, and this is exactly the next step in that. You know, this is probably what the Watchmen movie should have been, if it weren't for Zack Snyder's fetishization of the superheroes. You know, when you actually do not only deconstruct the superheroes, but you expose them for the evil that they really are in the world. I mean, and the idea of the corporate, the marketing and stuff like that. You know, I mean, we live right now in a world where superheroes are marketed to death. Imagine if they were real. You know, what kind of marketing would there be? You know, what kind of saturation would there be around you? You're surrounded by them all the time, you know, and then you find out that they're actually, you know, these people who cannot be trusted, cannot be. And there's these heartbreaking scenes like you know, the scene in with the Homelander and Maeve in the airplane. Mm-hmm. And it's just you know that there's absolutely no way that's going to end well, and you know, and it's a horrible, awful decision. There's no magical ending, you know. This ain't Superman, you know. Superman's not going to save the day. This is like they're faced with a choice. They make the choice, and it's a horrible choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to, but and it takes a real toll on. And then if you're, you know, when Homelander basically that awful choice that he makes, he turns it around to work for, you know, and mm-hmm. you think, wow, what a dick. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
To go off on a quick tangent, real quick, have you guys seen the most recent Watchmen trailer for the HBO Watchmen series?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts on Jeremy Irons as Ozymandias?
Well, I gather that he's supposed to be old Ozymandias, mm-hmm. so I don't have a problem. I feel better about him as Ozymandias than I did about Matthew Good in Zack Snyder's movie. But
yeah, no, yeah. I was so happy when I saw that. Like, I'd heard there was a rumor, but I'd never seen it before. And mm-hmm. to see him in that role, like, I love Jeremy Irons. Mm-hmm. And to know, like, I guess this series, from what I'm understanding, is a sequel to the movie,
mm-hmm.
where, because the movie took place in 1985, this actually takes place in, I'm assuming it's going to be 2019, so it is, you know, whatever, 35 years later, 34 years later. So Ozymandias would be an older gentleman now.
Yeah.
But perfect casting. I love Jeremy Irons. Just based on Jeremy Irons, I'm checking it out because I love that guy. Now getting back to the boys, one thing I would suggest to the listeners and to you guys, if you guys haven't checked it out, they actually did quite a few. They did a few panels and quite a few interviews at San Diego Comic-Con this year for the series. Like a lot of the cast members, like they did like the full, you know, stage table thing with the entire cast, but then they did like MTV did a video with them, and you know, different news groups did different videos with different actors and so on and so forth. They did a lot of interviews coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, and it's great, you know, like that cast, they get along so well. It's very encouraging when you see a cast where they're that friendly and they're enjoying themselves, and you know, they're just totally riffing off each other. It's a good sign. I really think they did an excellent job with casting for this TV show, and there's a lot of good stuff that came out of San Diego for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go to our ranking. So Kev, I know you haven't watched the show, so I know you can't give a ranking. But based on the comic book, like, would you recommend the comic book to people to check out?
I mean, there's differences from the show to the movie. There has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting curious now is, the more and more you keep saying for the TV show, rather, I said movie earlier, I meant TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if I should try everything again, because I think what I'm hearing is the difference between Garth Ennis as a single voice versus all the voices of a TV show. And even just in the acting, you get tone and pitch and body language and inflection and pauses and things that can help build a character or build a moment that you just can't get across in the same way in a comic. And I'm wondering if certain things, while still violent, while still disturbing, just come across better on screen because of, you know, everything else that you can do on screen you can't do in comic. If you like the show and it's your cup of tea, I say go ahead for the comic, but it's also disturbing. You brought up the Starlight scene.
Mm-hmm.
That is much worse than the comics. Much worse.
I have heard that they've toned it down for the TV show, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So anyone that's seen it already, if that scene was too much, don't go for comics. Because it was a toned down version.
Well, one thing...
But if you liked it and want more...
Yeah. Well, I know for season two, there, like, I don't know the character. I can't remember what his name was. He wasn't in season one, but apparently there is a more powerful superhero in the comic books, powerful than Homelander, that is coming in season two, who apparently was like a Nazi superhero. And that, I think that's where Vought got like the tech, or it was like, the Nazis created a superhero. Then after the war, like all the German scientists, not all, but a lot of German scientists went to work for the States. This superhero also went to work for the States, went to work for Vought. And they basically took that formula to make more superheroes. So whoever, I can't remember the name of the superhero, but apparently he's got like a skill set similar to Homelander. And apparently he's very dark in the comic books too. Like he's, he's a white supremacist guy, and I'm kind of interested to see if how toned down they're going to make that character.
Anything, I think in 2019, 2020, whenever this debuts, a character like that might hit even harder than the comic did. You know, there's very fine heroes on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could do a interesting allegory with this character and maybe make a larger point in State of the World, as all good sci-fi does.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of the things that I want to mention before.
Okay.
The character of Mesmer.
Haley Joel Osment.
This minor little character, you know, and he comes out, and it's Haley Joel, and I didn't recognize him at first, but it's Haley Joel Osment, the I See Dead People kid, grown up. And that is just priceless. That whole sequence with him, all that scenes with him, they're just priceless. And the fact that it's him, you know, that was brilliant.
Yeah, excellent casting. Even the minor roles. Mm-hmm. Michael, what kind of ranking would you give this season? Out of five, what would you give it?
Out of five?
Yeah.
Well, I'd give it a 5 out of 5, but again, I'm not comparing it to the comic book, and with the caveat that if you are a sensitive viewer, you know, you might want to be, you know, careful about this. And if you have a subscription to Amazon Prime, or you're, you know, however that works, go for it, watch it. And even if you're not, you know, there are other ways around this. I'm not saying how, I'm not saying what, but you know, there are other ways around it. You know, and I'm saying if you can do it, go for it. Watch it. You know, I would highly recommend it. It is one of the best series I've seen in a long time.
Excellent. I would give it a 4.5 out of 5, not because I don't think it's great. I do think it's absolutely fantastic. It's just I never give anything a 5. The only thing I would give a 5 is maybe Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, well, I'm a nice guy.
But yeah, no, it's so good. And like you said, I wouldn't watch this around children.
Yeah.
Even just some of the subject matter. It's not even just the violence. It's, you know, the sexual stuff and some of the subject matter might be, you know, it's definitely not good for kids. But even like I got a 12-year-old, and like when she's in the room, I push pause.
Yeah. And even when there's no violence and no bloodshed, there still is this uncomfortable threat.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of scenes, which is so effective, so you know, works so well. But yeah, it is if you're easily triggered, maybe not, but if you can stomach it, I'd say go for it.
And it's kind of, you don't really understand, like, well, at least I don't understand, like, the way it ended, where they're going to take the character of Butcher, because from what I understand is in the comic books, his wife is dead. His wife was murdered by Homelander.
Okay.
But in the show, like, he believes that for the whole season up until the last shot, and it's like, oh, this is awkward. Yeah. But
well, they do kind of, you know, foreshadow it when his sister-in-law puts up the headstone, and he gets pissed off because he said, you know, we don't even really know what happened to her. Don't even know if she's dead.
Yeah.
But, so that's like... Twist.
There was an interview with a writer for the show saying that for the comic, as they're not alive, in his quest he had something to die for, but now this revelation on the show, he has something to live for. and they thought that would make for a richer character.
And yeah, that's an interesting approach, definitely. Definitely makes you wonder what the future holds for Butcher, based on the fact that his whole hatred is over the fact that Homelander killed his wife. And now she, you know, like, and we don't even, like, we assumed that Homelander raped her, but we don't actually know what happened now.
You don't know that that was actually the case.
Yeah.
Because there's so many lies. That's just it. There's so many lies.
Yeah. And I can't, season two can't come fast enough. I'm telling you, this is so fantastic. And on a positive note, apparently from what I've read, and of course the internet never lies, Amazon Prime subscriptions have actually gone up because of, you know, people have word of mouth that the show was so good that they're actually getting more subscribers to their streaming service than they did before. So well,
that's
that,
excellent.
Yeah, that's a good sign
for
the show.
If you bought a subscription to Amazon, you watch The Boys, and then when you're done with that, you go watch Good Omens, because that's awesome too.
Yeah, that's one of my next ones, because I love David Tennant. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we go off on too many tangents, let's call this an episode. Let's just sum it up by saying, yes, this show is very good.
Yep.
Before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. Mr. Jackson, where can we find you, sir?
I am the producer and co-host of This Week from the Cave of Cool podcast, caveofcool.podbean.com or Spotify. We're on Spotify. I'm also artist for Amazing Stories magazine, which is a print magazine. It, you know, the magazine from way back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It's publishing today. It's in print. I have artwork in each of the episodes that have, or each of the issues that have been released, and in the upcoming issue that's will be released soon.
Awesome. That is awesome. And like I said on a previous episode, you know, we got to support print media, you know, because,
yep,
you know, if we don't, we're going to lose it. And it really is a special thing. It's mm-hmm. you know, a connection to the past that I don't think we should ever cut. Amazing Stories is a fantastic book. And fantastic
and
magazine.
Yeah. And you can get an online version, but honestly, the print one is so much better.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
We'll say right now, find me on Twitter at Team Hellions. You can frequently find me talking with Chris on these podcasts. I contribute to a site called The Retro Network. Usually got a post or two up there a week and show up on their podcast. And keeping print alive, that's kind of where I think I'm going for the next year, is more print and longer things than a quick blog post.
Yeah. Although, support your bloggers, you know, because I'm a blogger too. I'm a bad blogger because it's been a month since I blogged. I blog less in the summertime. But yeah, definitely support your print media too, because, it's very important. And for myself, yeah, you can find me here hosting these podcasts normally, but we have an upcoming episode where I'm going to be handing over the hosting reins to Kevin, and we are going to be talking about wrestling. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good discussion. So that is going to be coming in the not-too-distant future. So on behalf of all of us here this evening, myself, Chris Lockhart, Michael Dean Jackson, and Mr. Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. This was our episode on the Amazon Prime series, The Boys, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.
Had been away, haven't changed, had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. chick that used to dance a lot. Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face.